they need a present parent right now. They need a parent to put their phone down. They need a parent to bring them to church and to not only be in church, but have the community of church, have other faith-filled friends. Children need to see their parents modeling being what a Christian looks like. So put away the phones, put away the TV, put away all this stuff, and just be intentional and have the family dinners and have the conversations and go for the walks and just look for the awe of God in everyday life.
Today, we are joined by Jennifer Bothma, Christian children's author, former elementary school teacher, mother, grandmother, and host of the Front Parking Spot podcast. Through her books and podcasts, Jennifer encourages Christian mothers to grow in their faith and guide the spiritual growth of their children. Jennifer, welcome to Live Your Best Marriage.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's so exciting to be here with you both.
We are so grateful that you're here to share your wisdom with us.
And Jennifer, we're excited that you're here and because you help a lot of Christian parents and children, and your wisdom that you're passing to the next generation is very important. And we have found out that children don't just listen to the parents, they also watch what we are doing.
Right.
And how we communicate and how we handle conflict, and also how we apologize, pray, and support each other. So today we really want to talk about how husbands and wives can become a united front in raising children and also trusting God.
Sounds like a great topic, and I'm so glad to join you in that discussion.
Great. So, what first made you passionate about helping mothers be Christian?
You know, I just feel that when you're a young mom, I remember always looking up to the older moms that were around me, and they seemed to have so much wisdom, and they were calm, and they had anything I asked them, they seemed like they had an answer. So I think now that I'm older and I'm going to be having 5 granddaughters in a month. There's another one coming. We're all about the daughters and granddaughters, but I just really wanted to impart wisdom for these young moms and it's different. Parenting is this always pretty much the same. It's the same fundamentals, but in this day and age, it's a lot different just with the computers and the social media and all of that. And I just really, and all the things that are coming at moms, just the culture the counterculture to our Christian faith. And I just really wanted to be a light for mamas. With the podcast, with my books, if I can share Jesus with moms and children and families, I feel that is my calling.
That's really good. So after 35 years, what do you really think right now children need the most? Because obviously times have changed.
They need a present parent right now, always. Your parenting is always back in the day. There were different distractions that parents had in my generation, but they need a parent to put their phone down. They need a parent to bring them to church and to not only be in church, but have the community of church, have other faith-filled friends. And I know in my church now, I get to go to a small group. Sometimes there's small groups that husband and wife both go to, and then sometimes there's women's small group and men's small groups. But I really think that children need to see their parents modeling being what a Christian looks like and how it's fun and it's not boring, and to take the mission trips and to live on the front parking spot mentality, which that God has exceedingly abundantly more than you can desire or imagine. But kids are looking. And parents need to model that behavior. So put away the phones, put away the TV, put away all this stuff, and just be intentional and have the family dinners and have the conversations and go for the walks and just look for the awe of God in everyday life.
And I like what you said about putting away the phone. Yes, we communicate with phones, and it seems like these days everybody's glued on their phone. But the idea that, yes, put it down and now look at each other and have a conversation.
And I think the big thing is with phones too, and we all need to be reminded. And sometimes I'm like, I'm answering a text and then my husband may say to me like, who are you texting? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm just answering this and putting it down. But when we're on our phone and we're at a dinner or something, or or our spouse is on a phone, the other person who's not on the phone feels kind of gypped. Hey, I'm here and I'm looking at you and let's talk. Mm-hmm. And so the way we feel when other people are on the phone with us, your kids feel the same way. And one thing that really kind of grieves my heart is when I go to dinner and I see, it could be even a one-year-old, they have a device in their hands and they're just swiping. And it just breaks my heart because this is a time when they're learning about what it's like to be at a table and having discussion. And yes. I remember when my kids were small, my husband was really good. We'd go to IHOP and they have those like the paper placemats and he would fold it into a little triangle. And then we would do like football and we'd flick it and we'd actually play table games. And it was really fun. And I would encourage moms to put down your phone and to not have your kids take a phone to dinner and just enjoy conversation because it goes both ways.
Absolutely. That is so true. I just wanted to ask you, Jennifer, how do you think a husband and wife could be a united front when the two of them might have different ways of teaching their kids or different ways of disciplining their children? What would you say about that?
I feel that parents are a united front when you support each other's decision. When you're not going to be like, oh, your dad said this, let's go ahead and go around him the other way. You have to be united that if a parent says no, even if you kind of don't agree with whatever they're saying no with, you have to stand united with that other parent's decision of no. Then you and your spouse can have a conversation behind closed doors or whatever about why you felt maybe next time you could do X, Y, Z. But whatever one parent says, you have to be united in that decision. And you can't air to your kids why you agree or disagree with it. You just have to stand with that person in their decision.
That's what I mean. That is so important. But what would you tell a mom or a husband who, you know what, I like what you're saying, but I also don't want to be lying. I don't want to teach my kids that it's okay just to get along and constantly lying because they'll say, you know what, if I don't agree with something, I need to state.
When you're a parent, when your kids are under 18, you are raising your kids and you need to be, you can maybe say, maybe your dad feels this way because of X, Y, Z. Or maybe you can say, how about if we all have a discussion together? If you really don't know what to say and you're really kind of unsure, why did they say this? I'm kind of baffled at this. Just go and just say, let's have a discussion, all three of you. Yeah. And then kind of air it out because sometimes parents... Your kids sometimes do not convey the information correctly. We learn this a lot with teachers. Your kids come home and they're all upset about a teacher who did whatever. And when they tell you, it is the biggest, oh my goodness, this is terrible. I can't believe they did that. But then when you go and have that discussion with the teacher, you find out the story is not exactly as a kid either perceived it to be, or maybe they just read it wrong. But I think sometimes when you just air it all out, whether it's with a teacher, whether it's with a parent, or if you find out that your husband or wife said something that you'd be like, wait, they would never say that. But if you go and you air it out and talk about it, you're going to find most of the time that whatever your spouse said was not exactly said as your child perceived it to be. So I would highly recommend for parents to do that with each other.
And I like what you're saying because in essence, what you're saying is the couple should still be friends and give your spouse, your husband or your wife, the benefit of doubt.
Right.
Instead of just going out there and start bashing them instantly, just, you know what? Let me talk to him. Let me see what he really meant before I come out swinging and saying he was lying. I don't want to be lying and all these things.
Oh, 1,000%. Because usually it's always a perception that, and we as parents may do that. We may say something to our kids and maybe we're in the middle of a thought of something else and they ask us a question and we just may give them a quick answer. And in our mind, we're just answering their questions. We didn't mean anything by what we said, that the kid could be like, oh my goodness, mom, you were mean when you said X, Y, Z. I'm like, wait, I didn't mean anything like that. So it comes down every time to communication.
Okay. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then another thing we wanted to ask you is, there might be times when a mom feels like maybe the spiritual life of the family is resting on her. Could a husband become more involved without the wife feeling like she's pressuring him or trying to manage him? What are your thoughts on that?
That's really good, because I remember when we were growing up with the kids, the man is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. And sometimes it feels like the women are always the ones going, signing up and going to the Bethmore Bible studies. Or a lot of times that's because we have more bandwidth to do it and we have more opportunities to do it. Sometimes the women's, I remember when our kids were small, some of the small groups that were offered to my husband were times he could never go. And so it wasn't that he didn't want to, it was just that with his busy schedule or working or travel or whatever, it limited his involvement with some of those things. However, one thing I recently learned from a podcast and from one of my guests, and it has been great. It has been and I remember hearing this all the times in my small groups about women and men pray together, whether it's when you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning, wherever it is, just pray together. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute. It doesn't matter. You have to start small. And so recently my husband and I, we take our dog for a walk and we say a prayer. And this, they would say, just say 5 minutes. And so I will say a prayer and then I'll say in Jesus' name, and then he will continue on with his part of the prayer. And we never did this kind of until now, that we'd always pray at dinner and sometimes when we were going to sleep at night, but this initial prayer, and it's just taking small steps. And yes. So when I pray, he knows I'm always the one praying out loud a lot, but then when he prays, his prayers are so powerful. And the more you do it, the more you get comfortable, and the more you really miss it when you don't go for those walks together, because it really helps to see his perspective and what he prays for. I don't know, it just gives so much validity. And it says in the Bible, where two or more gathered in his name, he is with us. And that's huge. So I think starting small. And the other thing, moms, don't be like hitting your husband over the head with, come on, you need to be the spiritual leader of the family. You need to be doing this, that, and the other. Just stop. Work on yourself, the way you respond to things. And people pick up in your husband just by modeling Jesus in your life and waking up in the morning and having your Bible out and reading the book of Matthew. Just doing little things that work on yourself. And then that's going to filter into your relationships in your whole home with your husband and your kids.
You are basically starting, you're okay to start on yourself and be that person who you want to be, like, right?
Yeah.
It's the only thing you can control, and you don't want to be the nagging wife. Just work on yourself, and then Jesus overflows from you.
So with that, what are some of the simple faith practices they can start with? I know praying loudly, that's something that we have also started doing. We do it at the dinner table during breakfast. We pray loudly together as a family.
Right.
But what are the faith practices can they also pick up or you can recommend?
Whenever you go to a wedding, you're always given that, sometimes a little card, sometimes a little piece of paper or something. It's give the couple wedding and marriage advice. And my husband and I have been married going on 37 years. We got married really young. I was 22, he was 23. So we were really young, but we've had a lot of fun. But this is the advice that we were given from a priest right before we got married. And you think, what does a priest know? They're not married, but he gave us this advice and it was great. Number one, and if you're out of order with any of this, it just takes today. Just make the change today. Doesn't matter what happened in the past, but in your marriage, you have to have God. You have to have God first in your life. Number one, end of story, God. And that's like what I talked about, working on yourself first, then everything else falls. The next thing in your priorities is your spouse. Okay, so you've got God, your spouse, and that's together, you're a unit together. Third is your children. Fourth is your job. And fifth is your hobbies. When your kids come first before God, your spouse, all that, then you're the one that hears about the divorces that happen as soon as the kids go to college. Because we all have friends that, we know of friends that happened. Their kids were number one. They would take vacations with all their kids and the moms. They would go for spring breaks with the kids and the husband was left at home to work. When jobs take over, when the job is a priority, then that messes up marriage. when a hobby takes over, when the person's on the golf course all the time, then that's going to mess up the marriage. So I'm going to go back and the best advice, God, then your spouse, then your kids, then your job, and then your hobby. If you can keep that order in your life, that is my best recipe for marriage success.
The right priorities, because with all the things that are coming to you, at you, mm-hmm. once you wake up in the morning and you're just out in the wild, it feels like sometimes everything is important. Whatever the teacher wants, children, your job, it seems everything is important. And having that priority makes it like, okay, hold on, I'm going to deal with this first. That way, at least you know what's the most important thing, because sometimes the most important thing might not be the loudest thing.
Right. 100%.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Okay. All right. So another thing that we wanted to ask you about, Jennifer, is what would you say to a mom out there who is just feeling like she has made a lot of mistakes? What advice could you give her?
You know what? The great news is in the Christian faith, it is the only faith in the entire world that it's all about forgiveness. And there's no other faith in the world that we have ultimate forgiveness. It's not works, it's forgiveness. And if you make mistakes, welcome to the club. When we look back at the moms of the Bible, I have a good friend, Rhonda Stoppy. She wrote Women Moms of the Bible. And it was fascinating because we all make mistakes and we're gonna make mistakes. The best thing I think that a mom can do when she knows she made a mistake, even if she said something wrong, or you just go up to that person and say, hey, I am sorry. I hurt your feelings. That was wrong of me. If I could take it back and do it again and fix it, I would. I'm sorry. And we have to offer forgiveness to people around us as well. So if we've been wronged and a neighbor did something wrong to you or someone in your family, we have to model forgiveness for that person as well. So I would just say to a mom, if you feel like you really screwed up, go and tell that person, your husband, your kids, a relative, your mom, anyone, hey, I'm sorry I said that. That was rude of me. And then we get forgiveness because we have to forgive. We're ordered to forgive. And Jesus forgives us for all the things that we do. So I think modeling forgiveness, and so many moms and dads, they try to be perfect. And we are so not perfect. And I think a lot of my parents' generation and even my in-laws didn't say they're sorry much. That generation just didn't apologize a lot. It could be, and I think it was just that time and place that they were never supposed to admit fault. But I think we need to apologize. And only truly if you were wrong with something. You don't make it up. But if you really feel that you did something wrong, just apologize.
And I like what you said about forgiveness, because even if that person you're apologizing to doesn't forgive you, you are still being forgiven by God.
Yes.
Ultimately, there's that forgiveness. And sometimes we carry these burdens, or I made mistakes for the last 30 years, and that means my life will always be. This is how my life is going to be because I messed up. But just remembering that, okay, I'm forgiven and I can start afresh.
Yep. And, you know, and our pastor just did a really good message on Sunday about this. And we just talked about it in a small group on Monday. So this question is pretty perfect. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says forgive and forget. We forgive, but we don't always forget. And that's okay. We just move on from that. We don't harbor resentment. It's hard to forget unless eventually as the years go by, you may forget about a situation. But some situations are hard to forget. And just because you don't forget them doesn't mean that you still have unforgiveness towards that person. So nowhere in the Bible says forgive and forget. It does say forgive. So if you feel like you can't forget, ask God to take away the thought. And then, because just this past weekend, someone said something to me and I went back 30 years in my head. Remember when they said that? And they're like, are you still holding on to that? I'm like, oh, I'm not holding on to that. When you talk about it, I do remember it, but I've moved on and I've forgiven and God's grace is good. And I've learned from that situation. And so there you go.
This concept of forgiveness is one of those big Christian concepts that it's very important to teach kids. So as an author of great children books, how can we use like books and everyday conversations to help children understand some of these great Christian ideas
from
the Bible?
Yeah, you have to find the right books, because the children these days are like being shot with so many. There's just the truth is getting watered down, and you have to stay strong in the Bible. And you can't be like, there's so many gaslighting. Oh, this isn't really wrong. If culture accepts it, just because culture accepts something doesn't mean it's right. And we as parents have to have that wrong and right. The gray area is great. No, it's either what the Bible says or what the Bible doesn't say. And we need to stick with what the Bible says. So I think we need to not have the culture water down what we know is right. And just because it's society says, culture says, oh, it's okay. Whatever topic. We're not going in to talk about all the topics that day, but if the Bible is truth and the Bible is 100% right, we can't cherry pick the Bible. We can't be like, I believe this, but I don't believe that. It's the Bible and it's truth. And that should be our litmus test on what's wrong.
And you're right. And as Christians, it's very important to remember that what the non-believers wanted to do is they want to discredit the Bible and make it that, you know what, it's not really truth, so you can cherry pick a little bit of the Bible, a little bit of this, a little bit of this. And we were having this conversation the other day with our 9-year-old, because out of nowhere, she really thought Google knows everything. Like, Google is the source of truth. And as well as we are having this conversation that actually Google is not the source of truth, there's the Bible, and also people are adding information into Google.
And I was just going to say, I like to tell people with Google AI, Copilot, ChatGPT, that is not the Holy Spirit. There is no Holy Spirit in Google. There is no Holy Spirit in ChatGPT. And you need to use the Holy Spirit. And we all know that we have the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And He tells you with the Bible what is right. And it's really important to be in a Bible believing church. So moms and dads, if you don't have a church home, I know I go to church at 1122 with Joby Martin, and they do a lot of great online class. It's great. It's online and we can watch it if we ever miss. But there's something, you don't want to always just watch video. You want to have community and be with other believers. So I would encourage that for you.
And I like what you said about the using the Bible as the litmus test, because at the end of the day, as a parent, you're responsible for your home. Your children are under your watch, so you're responsible for your home. So it's important to you, for you to also read the Bible, know what it says, so that when you're teaching your kids, you are getting it from the source.
And if you don't know, look it up together. Do a little Bible study with them. What does the Bible say on all the big topics? And it's right there. There's nothing new to God. It's all there.
Okay. As an author, we like what you're doing, because you're taking these big concepts and breaking them down to in a way that the kids can be able to understand, which I feel is very important. It takes a special person to actually look in terms of, okay, I'm helping the kids, the next generation, get the right information, because there's a lot of books now. I'm noticing that people are going, writing children's books to corrupt children, not to actually help them for the next generation as they're living their life. Yes, they're actually going out deliberately corrupting children.
Oh, that is a very bad place, very bad thing to do. And the Bible speaks on that very adamantly. We have to share the truth and only the truth.
All right. I am curious, after your 37 years of marriage, and having your three daughters and your grandchildren now, is there anything you can tell us that you would have done differently at any point in time?
Doing differently. One thing I would highly recommend parents to have fun with their children and to take the trips. Take the trips, because a trip, I remember reading it once, that it's the thing you spend money on and that never leaves you, like the memories that you have. I'm trying to think, what are some one thing that I would do differently? Staying in church, doing all the things. I'm trying to think what I would do differently. Just really being involved. Maybe I know this as an adult, with my kids being an adult, I have to, once I get older and they're married or even older. My youngest is 29. I have to hold my tongue. I have to, when you have, your kids are married, you don't need to give your opinion all the time. They don't really want to hear it. And we have to think back and when we were young marrieds and when our parents would give us their opinion when we necessarily didn't ask for it, it rubbed you the wrong way. So one thing I'm learning with adult children is let them come and ask questions first before I just say word vomit on them. Especially with son-in-laws, because I have all daughters. So we have a really great conversation and communication style with my daughters. But I need to watch my tongue and what I say to them unless it's asked for. So there's that.
But just having that wisdom of knowing that this is not my place.
Yeah, slow to speak.
Yeah, slow to speak.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Slow to anger.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Because I was told it is to raise young kids, and he's, man, it's actually harder to raise adults.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Do you think I wish I was having your problems. Mm-hmm. Raising adults is more work. I'm like, what do you mean? And he was saying the same thing. Sometimes I know they're doing it wrong.
And someone told me once, when they're little, everything's physical. You have to take care of all their physical needs, make sure they're fed, make sure they get sleep, make sure they bathe, make sure say yes and thank you and all the manners. Everything's physical. But when they get older, it's emotional. And it's a different game as a parent. But once you're a mom and dad, you're always that mom and dad. And it's just it's a balance that I had to learn with my... I think I'm doing much better with my second son-in-law. My first son-in-law, I had to learn. So I think he's given me a lot of grace when I just share my opinion.
And I guess we're accepting that we are learning. It's like we are learning and it's another phase of life. But not, I guess you're prepared in a way you thought it would be a certain way, but now you are in it. You're finding out that you had to learn new ways of handling the situation.
And it's okay to say you're sorry when you know you've overstepped. Yeah.
And that's, even for me, that's something I learned, that it's okay to apologize and not be defensive all the time.
We don't need to say, I'm sorry, but forget the but. Why do we always add the but in? Just say, I'm sorry. But
because you still believe you're right.
Yeah, because we can't teach our kids grace if we're not giving grace to our spouse or, you know, if we're not showing, you know,
yeah,
how to do these things because the little ones are watching.
And we learned that most of the Christianity that we learn is from seeing us, how we are relating to each other, not from actually when we open the Bible. Sometimes we might open the Bible, but they already learned all they need to learn from our conversation between me and the Whitney. So it's very important to, if I need to apologize, I need to be okay apologizing. So now if I'm teaching the lesson of apology and forgiveness, I'm already showing it. They might take what I do and not what I say.
Yeah. Okay. As we wrap this up, we have one more question for you, Jennifer.
Sure thing.
What is one thing that a husband and wife can do this week that you think would strengthen both their marriage and also their faith environment at home?
Dance together. Okay, and when your kids see you dancing in the kitchen, it's funny. There's a Glenn Miller song, In the Mood. It's an old-fashioned song. When I was a little girl, my dad and I would always dance to that at weddings usually. But we listened to the big band station, and it's having fun together. And whenever now, my dad passed away 2017, so almost 9 years ago. But whenever this one song comes on, it doesn't matter who's in the house. It doesn't matter if we have guests. It doesn't matter what, if I'm in the middle of frying up chicken or whatever, I turn it off and we dance to that song. And then usually we'll dance to something else, take dancing lessons, enjoy each other, pray together, but have fun together. And if your kids see you having fun, then marriage is not a burden. Marriage is fun. They see that. It's a great modeling for what they're going to pick in a spouse. And so I would just say dance together, even if you're a terrible dancer, or sing, or just do something fun. And another faith thing you can do as a couple too, and we may have talked about this before, is at your dinner table, have dinners together and talk about your high and your low and what you learned for the day. And moms and dads join in too, because that's a great way to get conversations going and just kind of opening the heart of whatever age your kid is, because you hear what was a high, what was good about your day, what was not good about your day, and what'd you learn?
And it's really so different.
It's cute to hear the conversations.
Yeah. I like that. That's very, it's really fun.
And I love the dancing thing.
And you can even find things online now, like dancing videos and stuff, and you don't have to go and take ballroom dancing, but just do twirls and just have fun and get your socks on. You have your stocking feet socks and you can swirl and do that. And the kids think it's hilarious.
Yeah, we've been doing that too. So that it's very interesting, because last night we were doing that in the kitchen. So I guess it's just the right advice.
Hey, there you go. It's confirmation. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, the last 2 days we've been doing it in the kitchen. So it's literally you just confirmed what we thought a good, because we are all laughing and the kids are laughing and it's just a fun thing.
All right. Jennifer, we are so grateful for just all of the wisdom that you've shared with us today. Do you want to tell us where our listeners can find out more about you?
Oh, thank you. Sure. JenniferBosma.com is my website. I have 3 children's, Christian children's books. I Know the Plans is a great book when you're going to that baby shower and when they say bring a book instead of a card. It's all the scriptures I prayed over my daughters, and it's all in rhyme with great animal illustrations of animal families. It's super cute. That's I Know the Plans. God is 3-in-1 is when my granddaughter asked me, Grandma, who's the Holy Spirit? And we talk, and God is 3-in-1 about God the Father, then God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all in rhyme. And my first book that I wrote was The Baby Garden, and that's based on Jeremiah 1:5, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that's a really great book when you have siblings that are expecting a little new sibling coming their way if mom and dad are pregnant expecting another baby. It explains where babies come from. Also, we've gotten to meet on my podcast when y'all were on there, the Front Parking Spot podcast, or Front Parking Spot on Instagram. That is where I'm trying to reach out to all and men and families around the world through that podcast, Front Parking Spot. And that's also on Instagram. So Front Parking Spot, easy to find me, and JenniferBosma.com.
Yep. Okay. And they should go to that Instagram because you have a picture of the brand new grandbaby.
Yes.
Very cool. Yes.
Yes. Front Parking Spot is there. So sign me, just join there and you can see all the things going on and the podcast and stuff.
All right. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me today. It's been really fun talking with y'all.
We really enjoyed having you.
Okay.
Bye and God bless.